All right, let's look today in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14. Blessing to be with you today in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the good meeting thus far, the good preaching that our heart has heard already this morning. And do covet your prayers for a few minutes. The Lord will help us. Certainly we do want to be mindful of the time, the other men of God that will come. But we are thankful we're here. I was sitting there and thinking about years ago when I was in the Congregational Methodist. I guess it's been about 9 years since I was out of it. And I thought every year as the time would roll around, conference time, I always missed the fellowship. I always missed seeing you men. Several of you preached me down through the years and through the time. And I often thought I'll never be able to sit like that again, never be able to fellowship in that kind of meeting again. Then Brother Toby asked me a few months ago to come and be a part of this. And the Lord said, there's your chance. So I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad I'm with you. And it's my pleasure and my privilege to be here today. Certainly did not come this way to preach, but I do want to do what the Lord wants me to. Evidently, it's spelled my lot. So you do pray for me, and the Lord will help us for a few minutes. Mark 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was the waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you, God, again for this good day. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for the privilege to bow. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to call upon your precious name. Lord, it's certainly, God, today we love you because you first loved us. And we thank you, God, for calling us from the darkness and putting us in the marvelous light. Lord, we're so thankful, so grateful, Lord, that we're able to be here, God, today. Thank you, Lord, for these good men of God, Lord, that's around this place, these good church folks. Lord, we're so thankful, God, that they've come together, Lord, having this meeting, Lord. Thank you, God, for the privilege of me being here today, be able to sit in their midst. Certainly, Lord, I'm honored and I'm thankful for that. Thank you, God, for the good help that my heart's already received this morning. Lord, from the preaching, Lord, the good choir singing, Lord, special singing, all that's said and done this morning, Lord, has helped me, Lord, and I appreciate you for that. Lord, but now we've come down to this time, Lord, the preaching hour once again, and I confess, Lord, that I'm not able, I'm not capable, Lord, of doing, God, what you need done this morning. But I pray, oh God, that you'd take me, Lord, I pray, and use me, God, for a few minutes this morning as a vessel unto honor me for your use, I pray. I beg you, God, to open my heart and open my ears, Lord, and let me hear, God, what you want said this morning, and speak in me and through me, God, the words of life, I do pray. I beg you, God, that you'd open our hearts to the people of God and draw us near to you, Lord, I pray. Help us, God, to realize, God, that we can pull close to you. And, God, we can have a relationship with you. And, God, we can still fight this good fight of faith and be pleasing in your sight. Help us now, God, for just a few minutes. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed you, God, where we may have sinned against your glory. Help us, God, to stand with clean hands and a pure heart. Lord, help us, God, today not to be as a sounding brass, nor as a tingling cymbal, but, Lord, I pray for power. I pray, God, that you'd help me, God, I do pray. Get honor and glory to your high and holy name. Whatsoever you see fit to accomplish now or in days to come, Lord, I'll thank you for it and praise you for it, Prince. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. I want to preach today, the Lord being my helper, out of the last part of verse number 3, where the Bible said, and she brake the box. If God will help me just for a few minutes, I want to preach today on some broken things. Some broken things. I was thinking, I guess, maybe a month or so ago about this scripture, and the Lord, I began to deal with my heart, and I began to think about the time which we live in, folks. When they break things, they think that it's of no value anymore, and it's no good anymore. I'm glad to report to you today, God specializes in putting back the broken pieces. Amen. I thought about Gideon over yonder as he approached that army, brother. Toby's done made mention of it, where they licked their lambs, but they carried some pitchers with them that day
being said when I sound that trumpet, you bust them pitchers and holler the sword, Lord, and Gideon. And about that time, they blew them trumpets, broke them pitchers, and the next thing you know, that army turned on their shell and began to fight with one another. I'm glad God uses broken things today. And God, your life today may be broken. Your family may be broken. Your home may be broken. I don't know where you're at. Your heart may be broken, but I do know that God can put back the pieces of you and help you and make you new. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, this is not some fairy tale. This is not some Humpty Dumpty story where all the king's horses and all the king's men, I couldn't put him together again. I'm just going to be honest with you. He ain't sending no horses and he ain't sending no men. He comes on his own and puts it back together. Bless his name. Amen. Broken things. Reading over yonder in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, at chapter number 11, the church at Corinth was having some trouble administering the Lord's Supper there. Y'all remember that? And the Apostle Paul began to preach to them and told them how that same night in which he was betrayed, that the Lord took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body which was broken for you. I've taken eating this do in remembrance of me." I'm glad this morning that there was a broken body. And I'm glad I know who the body was broken for. Somebody said, "Jesus, I died for the whole world," and that's exactly right. But I came well aware of the fact one day that he died just for me. And when you come to the conclusion that he's thinking about nobody else but you, then you can get to the place where you can be saved. Amen. I'm glad the gospel call is universal, and it does go to whosoever will. But that morning it came to me, and Calvary was revealed, and the sufferings of Calvary was shown unto me, that Jesus Christ did die for me. Isaiah said, "I thank God who hath relieved our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed." I said he'd grow up before he has a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Said he'd have no form nor comeliness, and there's no beauty that you should desire him. I said in that same text there, that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces as it were from him. Amen. We esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes are you healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every man unto his own way. But then it said, "But it pleased the Lord that he might bruise him." Well, I'm glad of Calvary, ain't you? Well, I'm his Savior, who had it all, who had all that the heavens owned. And chose not to be fashioned like an angel. I chose not to come as a son, a supernatural being. But it behooved him to be made like it unto his brethren, that he might be made a merciful and faithful high priest, and grace pertaining to God. And that man, the man, Christ Jesus, marched up lonely Golgotha, up between the heavens and the earth, as he was spat upon and beat up and crucified. Ain't you glad he was broken for me and you?
Amen.
Oh, that's foremost this morning. Had it not been for Calvary, we would not be here. Had it not been for the revelation, there could have been a Calvary. There could have been a Savior. But had Calvary not ever been revealed to you, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. But because the man of God painted us a picture with bowels of compassion and showed me God's great love, according to me, made me to realize that Christ died. That's for me. We have communion now. I pass the crackers and pass the grape juice. That ain't really how they did it in this time. But as they would administer, especially as the Lord administered it, he would take that bread. He'd bless it. He'd break a piece off. Then he'd hand that bread to the men that was seated around the table with him. They'd tear a hunk off and pass it to the next man. Why did they do that? It was symbolizing their part in his death. Somebody said, "But preacher, I didn't have no part in the Lord's death. You better believe you did, friend. You're the reason why he's crucified. It was your sin that hung him there. You're the very reason. If you just want to get right down to the bottom of it, thank God you killed the Lord of glory. I killed the Lord of glory. We had a hand in the matter. We may not have stood in the crowd that day. Brother Dixon and Holler, crucify him. Crucify him. But before anybody ever was, Jesus Christ looked down through time and saw us in our wretched nature and saw that we was no good and an outcast and that our sins were ever before us. And he said, I'll go. And the cross he went. Our sins was placed upon him. Oh, the law made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better home did. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It was me and you that broke it. It was me and you that hung him there. But I sure am glad as the pieces fell on the ground, God looked through heaven and said, hey, out of that I can make a bride. Amen. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every revival meeting, every time a man of God stands behind the book board, the broken pieces of Calvary are scattered through the congregation. And so many times we trample over that, trot it under our feet. Ain't that right? That's about how it is. Sometimes I guess we just need to see it for ourselves. But if this is Christ, and if the man of God is breaking it, and the body there is being represented for us, there we are. But yet as that body's being preached, we live haphazardly. We trample on that body. We step on that body. We step on that blood. And we walk over it. Now I'm telling you what, if Christ was willing to give his all for me, surely I ought to give my all for him. I don't want to trample the blood. I don't want to make church a mockery. I don't want Christ to die in vain. I want to live pleasing in his sight. Somebody say, why do you live like you do? It's not to get to preach for you or a pat on the back from you, but I want to please my Lord who was bruised for me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. The broken body. Oh, yes. Amen. You had a part in Calvary. Amen. Your voice cried there. Crucify. Ain't you glad to see? Stretched his arms out and looked through a time. One preacher said he reached from Adam to eternity and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You'll know what he saw there. He saw me and he saw you. Ain't you glad he is willing to suffer that I might be able to go free? Oh, bless his name, that God would love me, that God would love you. Oh my, that a man would come and give himself. I'm sad over the fact I preach like this, and the folks look at me like a calf staring at a new gate. But you must realize, if it were not for Christ, we'd be goners. Amen. Brother Toby had it right. Most preachers nowadays want to preach and see the effect of it, you know. They want everybody to shout and swing from the rafters, amen. But you know what I found? If they want to pray, if they want to see that effect, see them results, they don't preach about Calvary. I can't understand that. Oh no. If anything ought to cause folks to weep again and shout again and rejoice again, it's the fact that Jesus gave himself for such a word as I. Writer said, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy, 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 happy. Somebody said, didn't say it that many times. Nobody meant it. Happy all the day. I'm telling you, thank God for Calvary.
Amen.
The broken body. Not only is there a broken body, but in the book, I guess, of Psalms, chapter number 34, verse number 18, the Bible said, the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Not only was there a broken body, but there was a broken beginning for you. Ain't that right? Y'all remember the story of Jeremiah as he went down to the potter's house, and there that work was wrought on the wheel. Jeremiah stood back and said, I've heard about this fellow. I reckon he's probably the best terrain. Look at all these masterpieces that he's made. But as that clay was in his hand, and as the wheel was spinning, and as the water was being applied, about that time the clay crumbled and was marred in the hand of the potter, or broken. Jeremiah said, what is he going to do? That piece must not be no count. I bet he's going to throw it out. But instead of throwing it out, Brother Willis, he just took that piece off the wheel, stuck it back down in the tub of water, let it soak a little while longer, pulled it back again, and made it another vessel. That seemed good to the Father to make it. Oh, thank God for the happy day, Christ being the rock. And the Scripture said, whosoever would fall upon the rock would be broken, but whosoever the rock fall upon would be crushed and drowned in the mud. Thank God for the happy day when Calvary, thank God, appointed me to the rock of ages, and I fell upon that rock, and my heart was broken, and my soul was contrite, and I knew I was headed down. And there come the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the potter put me on the wheel and made something out of me. He made at one time could not hold water. No good, no count. Broken in his sight. But he just kept on forming me. Oh, thank God for the days of conviction. Y'all remember the days when trouble came, when the gospel sprang alive in your heart, and you knew there was something different. Oh, all them days before Sunday school, mama's prayer, you heard it, but you didn't really hear it. But then that day when the gospel came, and the light shined in, and immediately you realized you was the cause of his death. You was the reason that he hung there. Your heart crumbled within you and said, how in the world could a man love me? All your failures and all your faults and all your heartaches and all your troubles and all your fears was placed in front of you. And you said, how in the world could he die for me? Oh, as being broken there, the man of God kept preaching, kept telling that Jesus Christ loved you, gave himself for you. Faith was planted, hope sprung alive. And you said, hey, if he did it for him, and if he did it for her, and he did it for me, how am I can be put back together? Now if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and the Lord, all things become new. You can't see the scars. You can't see where I was once broken. Thank God you see me as a vessel unto honor, and I see you as a vessel unto honor. Thank God for a God that puts things back together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all happy?
Yes.
Brother Dixon said, I know it's hard making you stand after eating a meal like that. You'll try preaching. Amen. Y'all ought to be the ones having a smile on your face. Amen. That's right. Amen. Christ died for me and you. The broken body, the broken beginning. Then there was the broken bread. I'll try not to hit that much. Brother Toby's done ably. Preach, don't matter. I think there's one place, though, in the Scripture that he did not go, and that's where I'm going to go. Over there in Luke chapter number 24, after the Lord has been crucified and risen again, there's two men that's leaving out from Jerusalem. That's about the only spot you didn't hit, ain't it? They're headed to Emmaus. They're headed back home. Their hands are in their pockets, and their chin is hung down on their chest, and tears are rolling out of their eyes, and they say, we just can't believe it. The women's done come and said, hey, he's alive. The grave's empty. There's nobody there, but still they're down, trodden, still they're discouraged, still they don't know what to do, and they're just headed back home. How many times in your Christian life, through discouragement and fear, have you packed up and left the place of the resurrection and went back home? Amen. So many times. There's been times on Sunday after preaching in a big way, get in the car and all of a sudden doubt and discouragement hit me. There I go, head back to Emmaus. Ain't that right? But as I'm walking, there's somebody that walks with me and talks with me and it tells me I'm not my own. And the joy we share there, none others ever know. Oh, they're talking and oh, they're discouraged. Jesus walking with them. And there come, he says, what thing are you talking about? Cleopas says, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Do you not understand what has happened? How that the Lord died was crucified. This is the third day. The women has come. We don't understand. But more than that, we trusted. We trusted that this man would redeem Israel. Everything we trusted in is over yonder in a tomb. It's dead and gone. I don't understand why all this has happened unto me. And the Bible said, Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, fools and slow heart, how to believe all that the prophet said unto you." And beginning at Moses, he began to preach and expounded all them things concerning himself. Well, oh, discouraged, downtrodden, and all of a sudden the Lord is walking with him. Does he ever do that for you? Oh, I'm glad he does for me. Does he ever preach to you? Oh, I'm glad he preaches to me. Does he ever open the scripture and expound to you? Oh, I'm glad he does. All alone in my secret place, all alone in my trials, all alone in my earth, there he is. Right there he is. And he's ready to bring help and encouragement out of my weary heart. See? Start to go in the door and they say, "Won't you come in with us?" And the Lord says, "But it's evening." And they say, "But we ain't heard enough. Come on in." Now the master of the house, when he'd come in, he'd take his seat at the head of the table. Then the master of the house would break the bread that they're about to eat. But this day when Jesus come in, I don't know if it's Cleopas' house or the other ones, but as Cleopas began to make his way, the Lord Jesus Christ just maneuvered around him and took Cleopas spot, slid out the chair and sat right down in the master seat. Oh, I'm glad those times of my life, I think I've got it all figured out. When I think I'm the master of my faith, the master of my destiny, I realize all my dreams are crushed. My life's broken into pieces. He just comes and takes his place. Amen. You don't make him Lord of your life. He's already Lord. Amen. You don't allow him to be Lord. It don't matter if you allow it or not. He's going to be Lord. And he's going to take his place at the head of the table. Oh, but we need to took that bread and looked up toward heaven and began to pray. Oh, they, the seven disciples had heard him pray before. He had taught them how to pray. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But I wonder what he prayed this day. I reckon as he looked up, he might have said, "Lord, oh, Father, I love you and I know you love me. And of these men here who trusted in me, but they're discouraged and they're downtrodden and they don't know which way to turn. Oh, but Lord, would you help them? Would you give them a piece of bread? Would you give them a piece of help? Would you bring some encouragement?" I think God said, "Amen." Broke a piece of bread, I put it in Cleopas' hand, I put it in the other man's hand, and said, "Eat it, boys." And about that time vanished out of their sight. And they looked one toward another and said, "Did our hearts not burn within us?" And they opened the scriptures and talked with us in the way. Wow! Hallelujah! That God, knowing my frame, knowing that I'm mud dust, knowing I'm easily discouraged, knowing I'm easily downtrodden, would take the time to come and walk with me and give me bread on the journey. The broken body, the broken beginning, thank God, the broken bread. Then in the text that I read in your hearing, here comes a woman. It's during the feast of the Passover, from what I can tell. The scripture says they're sitting at the house there, Simon the leper's. And they're celebrating the fact that their forefathers left out of Egypt and entered the promised land. They're celebrating that as Jesus is sitting there. Everything's done been made. The preparations, all is set before them. Here comes a woman in the house. And comes with a little old alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Very, very precious. Now, I see her. She comes in and somebody says, "Who's she?" They say, "I don't know who she is." "Who do you think?" "I don't know who she is. I don't know this." Now, y'all Bible scholars, y'all help me after church is over. But I was studying the other day and I noticed in in John's gospel that when Mary went to the house, what Brother Toby was preaching about, it was 6 days prior to the Passover. So it was before it. And when she came in, it didn't say nothing about a box, but she had a pound of spikenard, and she poured it on his feet. But the scripture said this woman came during the Passover. And when she come in the door, she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now y'all can tell me after a while how all that links together. I don't know. But y'all help me if you can. But I'm just saying, I think that because of what Mary done just a few days earlier, it caused a chain reaction in people wanting to be close and nigh unto their God. Amen. You want to know why? Part of the reason I am what I am today, had a lot of good heroes that broke their box. Amen. And because I seen them break their box, I knew I could break my box. Oh yes. Thank God. The scripture said that it was precious. It could have been sold for more than 300 pennyworth. In that day, they worked for a penny a day. So this was a year's wages that this woman had. All she had, it was in a little old alabaster box that was full of precious fragrances. That's all she had. But she is willing to give all just so she could please him. Amen. Oh, I want to give my all, don't you? She knew it wouldn't be just a few days and he'd die and he would be buried. And she knew her being a nobody, she'd have no part to bury him. So she wanted to anoint the body beforehand. I'm telling you what, today, it'd be good for some of you this morning to break your boxes and live for God now. There's some of you saying, I'll wait till a better day. I'll wait till I'm a little older. I'll wait till I'm done sowing the wild oats. I'll wait till I'm already married and got a family. Then I'll break my box. But it ain't time then, it's time now.
Amen.
Precious unto her. Not only was this a precious thing, it was a public thing. Amen. That crowd that says they can serve God as well at home as they can at the church, they're a bunch of liars. Amen. You can't do it. I understand there's some that's bedridden and sick and can't go, but them that are bedridden and sick at home, they long every Sunday and every Wednesday to be at the house of God. Amen. I guarantee you they do. That crowd that says, oh, I'm church on Friday. Church, what in the world are you? A bunch of fanatics. Say, uh-huh. And break your box. That's right.
Amen.
Say, I'm one of them. I'm one of them fanatics. I want to be able to publicly display my life. I did not the scripture say that we're supposed to be a city that's set on a hilltop? We don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. Somebody said, but I'm bashward and backwards, and you may very well be, but there's going to come a time, whether it be at Ryan's at the steakhouse, I'm saying the blessing, that all of a sudden, thank God, you're going to feel that happy feeling, that warm, fuzzy feeling, and before you know it, you're going to come to yourself. Thank God, saying grace in a very, very audible voice, waving your hands with people looking at you, but just go ahead and do it. Thank your mom.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got saved when I was 16. I told y'all this, and y'all know it, but it's my story. I tell it again. Y'all kidding me all the time. I ain't got one message. I ain't got one story. Amen. That's right. So you leave me alone. I'm doing my part. Amen. Got saved. I was much like a lot of folks are. I was backwards. And come to school and we was having what they called a rap session. Old preacher come in and preach to us on Wednesdays. And that Wednesday, come in the door shouting, waving his hand, brought us back there in the lunchroom. And I was sitting there. And he said, Brother Michael, you testify for us today. And I looked at him, shook my head and said, I can't testify for my peers. They'll think I'm crazy. And he said, just go ahead and tell us what the Lord's done for you. And I stood up and I said, I want to say I love the Lord. And I felt my lip quiver. And I felt the tear drip down on my cheek. And the next thing I knew, I come to myself about 15 minutes later, and I was running up and down the lunchroom table, waving my hands. What happened, preacher? I broke my box. Amen. Thank God. And when you break, thank God, we don't know what you're made of until you break your box. We don't know what's on the inside of you until you break your box. Does the scripture not say from the abundance of the heart, the mouth that speaketh? But we can't see it in your heart unless you speak it from your mouth.
Right.
Amen. That's right, amen. I'm hurrying and I'm almost done. That's right. Thank the Lord for broken boxes. Amen. Oh, thank God, precious, and it was public. Boy, I preach about books all the time. I preach preach about some of you men. I refer to Brother Dixon. I refer to Brother Willis. I refer to Brother Parrish so many times when I'm preaching up and down the land. Why do I do that? Because they've been instrumental in my life. Why do I refer to them? Because I've seen them break their box. And because they broke their box in front of me, I had courage to come out of my shell. Be the preacher I need to be. Be for God what I need to be. I've got news for you. When you die, friend, the only thing that's going to matter anyway is what you've done for the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. She broke the box and poured on his head. Amen. It was precious and it was public to her. Amen. But not only that, it was personal. Oh, it was personal. The Lord looked at him and they said, hey, why in the world is the waste of this ointment made? It could have been sold and given to the poor. And the Lord looked at him and said, you let her alone. There's always been a crowd. When I first started out preaching, they started out saying, hey, you're stepping in a little too deep. You're wading out a little far. You ain't got to be so crazy about this thing. You ain't got to be so fanatical. What in the world's wrong with you? All I had was a box. And all I knew to do was break it. And in breaking it, I found myself stepping on out. Amen. It was personal to me. I just believed that preacher when that preacher looked and pointed the finger across the congregation and said, y'all ought to have a prayer place. You know what I did? I went home and made me a prayer place. I just took him in his word that he knew better than what I did. He'd been around a whole lot longer. When he preached, he had power on it. So I figured if I do what he'd done, follow the advice that he gave me, I might have something in my life. Amen. That's right, ain't it? I'm not here this morning just to preach to see myself get red in the face and wear myself out. Hey, man, I do that enough. But I'm here to let you know and make you understand this morning that God wants to see something out of you.
Yes.
Personal.
Amen.
There's an old deacon, was an old deacon in a place called Center Missionary Baptist Church there in Woodville. His name was Leo Whitaker. And Brother Leo was a good man. I'm talking about a good soldier. Amen. Brother Leo would stand every Sunday when he was there and he'd testify, and his testimony was always the same thing. He always started out about how that he spent 23 months overseas in World War II. Always talked about the jungles, how that he was lost, and how God brought him back home. Amen. How that mama prayed him in, how that he got saved, and after he got saved, got his daddy saved. And he'd always finish it up singing an old song. Talked about how the Lord spread the manna all over the ground. And they all shouted, we're homeward bound. Everybody in that church can quote Brother Leo's testimony verbatim. And somebody said, why in the world reckon we can do that? Is it because he said it every Sunday? No, it ain't because he said it every Sunday. It's because that was all that was in his box.
Yes.
Amen. That's all that was in his box. Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I can't preach like Brother Toby. I can't either. But I ain't got that in my box. I can't moderate a meeting like Brother Dixon. I can't. But guess what? It ain't in my box. Amen. I can't sing like these girls back here. I wish I could. And I'll be honest with you, when they started a while ago, I wanted to help them singing about heaven. I surely did. Amen. There's some of that in my box. Amen. I can do a little bit of that. And it may not sound pretty to you, but I sing it to myself. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God. I'm telling you, I'm wanting to break this box. That's what I'm wanting to do. Amen. I don't know if that offends y'all financially. If it does, we'll take up an offering in a few minutes and buy you a lifetime supply. Amen. Napkin. But I'm telling you what, this woman come in the door, Brother C.L., bypassed everybody else, went straight to her Lord, cracked open that box, and when she cracked open that box, that fragrance filled the house. And they said, what in the world is going on? Who in the world is coming to the house? What in the world? Hey, I don't understand. That woman gave her all.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Funny reading commentaries. I read commentaries. I try to study, you know. And it's amazing, different men's opinion. I was reading about alabaster. Alabaster is a wine. It's pearl-like, and it's got swirls of crimson in there. I reckon what that's typical of. Amen. The righteousness of God, maybe in the blood of His Son. I don't know. Could be. But it's wrath, and she had that fragrance inside that box. And one said there was no need. There's no need for this woman to break this box. But if the Scripture said she broke the box, she broke the box.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? The other man said, one man said that alabaster was real, real brittle, easily broken. Another man said, alabaster's hard. And I said, I ain't getting nowhere. And the Holy Ghost said, now think about that. Think about that just for a minute. And I said, that's probably right. Living for God, serving God, on God's end of the thing, it's real easy. But when it gets in our hands, it's a hard matter. Amen. Because pride gets involved. Ain't that right? Our lives, our thoughts, you know. How many of you this morning, if you'd have put yourself in that little house, would you? How many times would you have walked to the door with that little box in your hand and said, no? How many times have you started to knock and said, no? How many times in churches you felt that overwhelming feeling? God stroking your heart. God thinking around your heart and saying, hey, just tell me you love me. And you get right there to open up the door, but then you say, no. And about that time, maybe on the other end of the building or in back somewhere, some old saint stands up and says, for some reason, I just feel a strange unction to tell him I love him, how good he's been to me. And the whole time what they're saying is exactly what you rehearsed in your heart, but you didn't break your box.
Right.
Amen? It's personal to her. Personal. That same man that said that, I believe alabaster's brittle just by what I study, but he said what the main reason for her doing that is so she could reach into all them crevices and get every last bit of it out. Put it on his head.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't so much that stuff falling off his head and onto the floor that bothered them so much, but it was that fragrance that filled the air. There's something about worship. There's something about worship when it's produced from the child of God, and it begins to come forth. Those of us that are out of whack and out of the will of God, you know, when we see you do it, we say, oh, there ain't nothing to them. Why in the world they do that? I live better than what they do anyway. They're not dedicated. They're not consecrated. But the thing about the difference in them and you, they've got a broken box, and you ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. She reached in and got every bit of it out. Put it on. Lord said, you let her alone. Not only that, everywhere you go, you tell the story of a little old woman that broke her box. Now, she didn't ask for this. She didn't ask. This wasn't her expectations in the matter. She didn't want to be known for anything. But everywhere she went, somebody said, that's her. That's her. That's that one that broke that box. You know what I found out, Brother Toby? This day and time which we live in. Now, they might about you, but nobody's writing books about me. Nobody's writing books about me. And nobody's interviewing me and asking me all that I've done in the ministry. But we read and we glean from men that actually had part in some great things. Amen? And we can all tell about Billy Sunday. We can all tell about the D.L. Moody's, and we can all talk about the Charles Spurgeon's. Amen? Ain't that right? We can all look back through our lives and talk about the Pine of Bearden's and people like that, and the Ruby Pires and the things like that that made an influence in our life. But the only reason why it did is because they broke their box. Amen? When I die, I lay a corpse. And Brother Toby comes and uses my body, because I'm going to go for you. And that some of y'all may still be around. I don't know. Brother Dixon, would you come? And would you look in that casket? Brother Willis, would you come look in that casket? If I go for y'all and say, if anything about this boy, I know he broke his box. I know he broke his box. And he tried his best to live for God and love Him with a whole heart. Amen? See them broken pieces right there? I'm not going to trample over him after it's all said and done. Oh, no. He broke it. His life was broke for me. I'm going to break my box for him. Amen. Thank you for your time. Thank you.